To each and every one of us, He gives beautiful gifts, and we've got to witness those. And you know, there was some proud family that were here to see those gifts being shared with everyone this morning. You see those little phones out videotaping for those that couldn't be here and such. So I know there's proud family. And we should be proud of what God has given us, should we not? Not arrogant. I'm not talking of that, not being prideful of what we have, but seeing God working and God sharing those gifts to each and every one of us. Praise the Lord for that. You know, a lot of us, we come and we can feel like we're not adequate. We don't have enough. We don't have the skills that some of these people have. And so we're not efficient. We're not good enough. And yet God tells us just the opposite of that. And that even if we have a heart like Judas, there's still hope for us if we would turn. Just like there was hope for Judas, there, if he turned and accept Jesus Christ for the full salvation that he brings, even his heart could have been turned. Do we believe that? That was a little weak. I don't know if we really believe that or not, but I believe in the power of God greater than I believe in the power of myself or any of us. And I believe the power of God can still work today. Do you believe that? That's a little better. Let's pray together as we come before our Lord God. Father God, we started last week kind of reflecting on Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, and realizing that as the message gets out, as the gospel gets poured out, Father, as the warnings get shared, all to bring people back to you. But Father, even some of us have fallen trapped to heartache, deceptions. And Father, even our own sin that seems to have held us captive. But as we saw and as we reflected on, Father, we need you to touch our hearts. And it is not because of, I don't say that with that you're not willing to touch our hearts. You are so willing. But are we willing to open up our hearts to you so that you can touch it? Are we willing to say, Lord God, we choose your power to be that which fights for us? Do we choose your victory to be our own victory? So that, Lord God, as we look to the challenges that are before us, we look to the challenges that are being pushed upon us, Father, you will rise. And we will be just that vessel that you use, will be the people that you use to stand on your behalf, to share with the nation that God is in control and that God is in control of my life. And therefore, I have patience, I have comfort, and I have a hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we think of fruit and things like that, we often think, man, you know, they start off non-existent. They're not even there until the tree gets to become something substantial. The leaves start growing and then the little buds start to happen. And once the buds start to happen, then sometimes a flower comes out. And then what happens is it starts turning into some kind of fruit, whether it be a lemon, an avocado, whatever it might be. Something starts happening. But yet all we see is the patience of this little fruit that seems to sit there forever and ever and ever. And our mouths and our minds thinking of the delicious taste of that they bring to our food. And we just can't wait to be able to see the fruition. But the fruition of that fruit so that we can enjoy the bounty that it brings. And I know we probably never ever said it that way or thought of it that way, but fruit has an amazing piece of which it brings to each and every one of us. And yet, but it's that patience that it seems just to sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there for so long before we can enjoy it. But is it dormant? When the fruit is there, is it just, we don't think about it, but is it dormant there? Is it not nothing happening there? There's tons of stuff going on, isn't there? When the fruit, even if it's there, it's still growing. But yet, we don't always see the growth right away. It takes time, right? It takes time because we look at it day after day and it doesn't seem like there's any growth. And then one day we say, you know what, it seems like it's growing a little bit more. But there's something happening on the inside, isn't there? There is life transformation taking place on the inside of that fruit to build it to what magnificent piece of just creation of which we will be able to enjoy. And yet, when we think of that fruit, we think of the patience that it has, that we have for that fruit, but there's something amazing going on. And even in our own lives, in our church lives, we can sometimes think that, you know what, we're dormant, we're kind of just, what's happening? But there's something going on behind the scenes. There's something that's going on underneath everything. And I pray it's the fruit. I pray it's the nutrients that God gives from heaven, of which is cultivating our own personal hearts. Because in essence, that's the fruit. In essence, that's the fruit that God is cultivating, is the joy of each one of you. Yes, you could call yourself an avocado if you want, a lemon, a strawberry, whatever you want to call it in figurative and in illustration sense. But each one of us are beautiful and amazing. And just like we were sharing earlier, that we're all different. And it's kind of cool sometimes when you get a fruit salad, isn't it? I like fruit salads because there's lots of fruit in there. It's good that sometimes there's only cantaloupe, let's say, or honeydew melon or something like that. But man, when you get all these fruits together, you put multiple flavors in your mouth and it changes everything, doesn't it? Have life and society, our own challenges, our own struggles, our own agendas, crowded out the beauty of God's church. The beauty that lies within us. Have we grown so cold that we don't realize the beauty that God brings out in each one of our flavors? In each one of the flavors that we bring, we also have an aroma, don't we? Now, I would ask you to take a whiff right now in the room, but, be cautious. But when we take a smell around the room, illustratively, what are we smelling? What are we seeing? I want to bring you back to Revelation chapter 14 with me. Revelation chapter 14. We started there last week. And we read through the three angels' messages, each one sharing and opening up the impact that it has in our lives. But yet, how do we stand as Adventists? How do we ripen in our spiritual walk and journey? And we found, looking last week here in chapter 12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Now, we looked last week at the faith of Jesus, and we were finding that the faith of Jesus, what is that faith of Jesus? What was God's faith? And the faith that we saw and that we explored is the joy that he has in working with his Father to see everyone and anyone come to the truth, to come to the salvation, to take hold, to embrace and hug and hold it with everything we have, the love of Jesus Christ that brings us back in communion with him. Amen? That is the joy of the Lord. That is the joy that we need. That is the joy that helps build our faith. Powerful that we take hold of the joy of Jesus Christ. So the faith of Jesus is the joy of coming alongside each other, the joy of working with God, partnering with him to see the fruition of God's character come into our own character and in the characters of others. But yet, as we reflect on this week, the patience of the saints. Now, when we think of the patience of the saints, we think of this a little differently. We think of, kind of like we're driving on the freeway and somebody cuts us off, and what do? We have to do the deep breath, right? Be patient. Okay, I need three deep breaths on that one, And trying to be patient, calm us down. The patient when you're trying to get a hold of your insurance company and you've had a car wreck and you're trying to get things worked out, and they've transferred you three times and now you're on the fourth transfer and you're waiting for them again. To get somebody that can help you, and you're sitting there kind of going, okay, there's something building up in me that doesn't feel healthy, but man, I want to take it out on whoever comes on the phone next. But we say, Lord, keep us patient. And then we think of patient also as with the struggles around this world and things going on, and saying, God, give us patience to love each other. Give us patience to respect and care for one another, because man, people, do I have to say more? But is that the patience that is being spoken of here when it says, "Here the patience of the saints"? Is that really what's being shared with us? Early on in our own church history, there was a time of great jubilee, of which was experienced because Jesus was coming soon. They were so excited. We think of whatever it might be for you, but a time of great jubilee to think of, man, nothing else matters for the joy of whatever moment, like when a baby's about to come, everything else can almost go to the wayside because of the joy of that moment. Nothing else really matters. The joy of a family member coming from who knows where, going through all kinds of things, and they're finally coming home. A child that says, you know what, I have been through the trials of things, but you know what, I just need to accept Jesus Christ for my own and take hold of Him with all we have. And the parents say amen, and we rejoice when we hear of our loved ones that have been struggling so long and they finally take hold of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? So this was a year of great jubilee. And so they didn't care about anything. They didn't care about their homes. They didn't care about their wealth. For them, it was exciting to get rid of the extra baggage because they didn't need it because Jesus was coming soon. And so October 22nd, 1844, Jesus was to come. And on that day, they didn't wait till midday. They probably didn't even sleep throughout the night. They were up right when sundown was the previous day, and they probably stayed up until as long as they could, keep their eyes open. They probably had neighbors sitting there hitting the elbows, you know, like some of you right now, making sure your neighbor stays awake, just so that they wouldn't miss it. But we know the story. History knows the story, the great disappointment, and that they didn't see Jesus that day. And in that great disappointment, what happened to the people? Well, some struggled. They struggled with the reality of, well, wait a minute, everything I believe, maybe I've got to throw that all out now because this didn't happen. So that means everything I've been grounded on is worthless. Others said, well, wait a minute here. Could we have had it all wrong? Maybe we need to go back. Maybe we need to continue in enduring through this so that God can work through the process. And so some did do that. Ellen White describes it this way. She says, we were disappointed, but not disheartened. Now think about that. We were disappointed, but not disheartened. How many times in things have come up in our own lives where we do get disappointed, but it doesn't end there. We get disheartened as well. And so we start turning from our faith. We start turning away from our church family. We start turning away and saying, we don't need it. Because either they don't need us or I don't need them. But yet, Ellen White shares, even in that great disappointment, I don't know if we could truly grasp the disappointment that they had. Because to think about that, Jesus was to come that day. Man, that day, and He didn't. That would rock any of our worlds. And yet, even through all of that, even in preparation to all of that, there was great, great excitement for that time to come. And though it didn't go the way people thought it would, there was some that said, you know what, we might be disappointed, but our hearts are true and connected with God. We're going to stick with Him, even though it didn't go our way. Even though it didn't come out in the way that we'd hoped. Even though the struggle brought on a lot more challenges. We're seeing people leaving, friends, loved ones, because they are disheartened. But we are still going to hold on to the heart of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it's easy just to say the amen. But it's another one to have the faith. To have the faith to hold on to the heart of Jesus no matter what. Even as a church, recently we've gone through some great challenges and things that we face. And everyone has comments regarding a variety of different things outside the major elephant in the room that they talked about this week at the GC session. But there was a lot of other things. That wasn't the only thing on the agenda. There was many other subjects and other important issues that were dealt with. But yet those get pushed to the side. But yet, through it all, and though some might be disappointed, some might be excited, whatever it might be, may we not be disheartened in our call to the mission of Jesus Christ. May we, our hearts, be ever so true and connected to the Savior that the patience that we're going to come to understand is the kind of patience that we can take hold on to lead us home. And not just lead me home, but allow me to come alongside someone else that together we go home to Jesus Christ. Because that is the mission of our church, and that is the movement of which they came upon in coming together. It said here, Ellen White continues on, it says, we resolve to wait with patient hope for the Savior to redeem His tried and faithful ones. Life Sketches, page 190, verse 2. Faith in Jesus gives us the joy to endure with patient expectation. Expectation of what God will do and and patient expectation of what God will pour out onto us and give us when He comes back again and redeems His people. Turn with me just a chapter back in chapter 13 of Revelation, Revelation chapter 13, starting here in verse 1. And here in relating to the beasts, as we see these two elements here shared, the beast of the sea and the beast of the earth. But looking at the beast of the sea, it said, I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled. And what did they do? Got intoxicated, marveled at the splendor, at the massiveness, everything, whatever it might be. But in the process of that, what did they do? You see, where we give our attention in the sense of our eyes, our ears, and our focus, what happens in time is that we can end up following it before we even know it. The marvels, the excitement of all of it tunes us in. When we think of movies, why do you think they have the big bangs and the kabooms and all those things? Because what does it do to our attention? It pulls us in. It pulls us in. Wow, did you see that? So whatever the marvels that this power has shown, people began to follow. And so they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Was anyone able to make war with this beast? We don't have anything that we could fight, but we do know somebody who can, don't we? We know somebody who does, don't we? We know somebody who has the power, don't we? Do we know that? Do we know of the authority and the power that Jesus Christ has, that He will make war with this power? Because if He can make all the people worship, He can make all the people tune in, what chance do I have to overcome it if I fight on my own? So I take hold of the power of Jesus Christ. I take hold of the authority in Jesus Christ, and I say, in Jesus Christ's name, keep me faithful. In Jesus Christ's name, keep me focused on the heart of You, Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, help Your character become my character, because my character is flawed. My character is not having the loving heart that You have, Jesus Christ, but give me the love that only You can give. Give me the heart to love my brothers and my sisters, and that is all of creation. Continue on, He given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and He was given authority to continue for 42 months, and then He opened His mouth in blasphemy against who? Verse 6, against God, to blaspheme His name, His tabernacle, to destroy everything He stands upon. Can you imagine just somebody coming out and trying to do everything they can to hurt your character, your motives, to question everything there is about you? Most of us wouldn't even take it very long, would we? We would find another church. Because that's what we see. Whenever someone starts questioning or doesn't, we're just like, yeah, you know what, I got another one down the street. I'll just go there. But our faith and our patience is in God. Verse 7, it says, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in what? Book of life. And in the book of life is those that have the faith of Jesus Christ, the patience of the saints, and keep the commandments of God. Because that's the heart of Jesus Christ. And we are able to overcome no matter what physical hardships we go, whatever sufferings may come, even death itself, but yet might come our way, but we will maintain our relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because He is greater. Why? Because He is I am. And because of that, we take hold of Jesus. It doesn't matter what kind of religious coalitions come against us, what civil powers try to push their ideas, or even false ideas that we are plagued with around the clock from everything that's being shared, whether by radio, TV, or just billboards or whatever it might be, Jesus Christ will be there for us as we are steadfast to our loyalties to Him. Amen? We are steadfast to the loyalty of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to James chapter 1. For our challenges that we face are great. Our challenges that are before us, we struggle. And we might even be caught up in the clutches, but we have each other. But more importantly, we have God who works with each one of us. And God will use each one of us to help us to come back into the heart of Jesus Christ. And so as even here James is sharing, then helping people come together in refining their character, keeping them focused on what's important. And he says, my brethren, in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, most of us wouldn't say that, would we? Count it with excitement. Woohoo! Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what now? Lacking nothing. When we think of the Greek word and we think of this idea of patience, again, we think of that ripe or that fruit that's ripening and it kind of lays dormant there. We don't think it's doing anything, but a lot is going on underneath is happening there. But the Greek word that's being used here and in all these texts that I'm sharing with you today in regards to patience is the same Greek word. In essence, what it's bringing out is a stand and an endurance. Not the patience that we think of. We think, again, you know, patience, you know, have patience that the computer's exceptionally slow because the internet's not working when you're wanting to go to a website to purchase something. Or you're watching a movie or something and it's like doing this, da 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 da. And, you know, you're like, you know, whatever it might be, it's not that kind of patience, but it's saying stand and endure. Stand and endure. It changes everything when we think about what this means, in that as we come with faith in Jesus, that it gives us the joy. It gives us the joy to endure with patient expectations. Now, when you think of that, again, that patient expectation is that idea that we are expectant of what God will do. We have the endurance and we will stand to continue the journey in Christ. Not continue our agenda, not continue what we think should happen, but we continue to hold to God's principles. We continue to hold to what God is doing. Even as a world church, we continue to support and encourage one another. Do we always agree on everything as a family sometimes? I mean, come on, we have our own families. We don't always agree, even if we're sitting all at the table deciding what are we doing for vacation this year. We may not all agree, but we're still family. And what brings us together, that holds us together, even though we might have different opinions, is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's what He does for us. Amen? When the nation looks on and goes, how do they deal with conflict? How do they interact when they have difference of opinions? What should we be reflecting? What are they seeing? Because that's what the world needs to see, is how can people have differences? How can they have different ideas but yet still be united together? Can the power of God truly work? Can the power of God really unite together? Because let's sit back and actually watch it. Let's see if they say that the power of God brings us together. Let's see if their actions will actually speak and share with what they say. And so as they look around, what are they seeing? What have we seen? So we're challenged. Our human nature always can get the best of us. Our human nature can always pull us away. But it comes with an individual turning to God each and every day, praying a prayer. Father, give me the joy that comes when I love you and you share with me the love to love one another. Because I can't just love you alone and not have it reflected with each other. It's like a circular pattern. When you're loving God, it's going to have an effect on loving others around you as well, and vice versa. And so, Lord God, help us to have the patience to endure, to continue to be, what's the word, persevere. That no matter what comes up, we continue to hold fast to Jesus. Though we see the wrongs, and we see wrongs maybe doing wrong to others, we recognize the hurts that we might go through, but at the same time, we remind each other of the power that we take hold of when we say, you know what? I know you're going through a lot, and you might feel the weight of so many boulders on your back, but I'm glad God brought me here with you right now, because I just want to put my arm around you and say, you know what, God will lead us through. You are God's creation. You are God's daughter. You are God's son. This is God's church, and we are going to continue to endure in Christ as He leads us home. Because sure, it can be muddy along the way, but we're still in Christ. And though we might look pretty bad sometimes, we're still in Christ. And He still blankets us with what? What is it that He gives us? Oh man, what does He give us, my friends? What does that look like? He gave us an illustration of what that looks like. A man, or usually you see a picture, a man is standing and they have, or a person, and they have something that he's covering them with. What is that covering? Are we still willing to let His robe of righteousness cover us? Or are we caught up? Just like we read in Revelation 13, where power thought, you know what, God, you're not really good enough, but I am better. And so this power in Revelation 13, as we're reading, to think that they have the authority, they have the right, they can do better than our God of the universe. And we could say, you know what, do we surrender to say, you know, we might have it all mixed up, but it doesn't matter, we're going to trust Jesus Christ, we're going to move on together. We're going to continue to be faithful, to hold on to the mission of Jesus Christ, to continue to come alongside one another and reveal and share the beauty of the gospel and the message that it can bring and the transformation it brings to each one of our hearts. Because we have a nation that is in deep need of understanding the love of Jesus Christ, the character of Jesus Christ, and even just as important, the commandments of God. Because they help us in understanding the true love and nature of our Lord God. And so here we are, a people in need of a Savior. In James chapter 5, just a few chapters over, I want you to see this. In James chapter 5, as we have faith in Jesus that gives us the joy to endure with patient expectation. In James chapter 5, verse 7, it says there, therefore be patient, same patient Greek word, brethren. So not patience in the saying sit back and relax. You know, grab a cold something and sit down and just wait it out. But no, with endurance, with perseverance, brethren, until the what? Share it out loud, my friends. Come on. Like if Jesus was coming later on this afternoon, my friends, what does it say there? So with the patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. So we are enduring, we're being patient with that expectation that the coming of the Lord will and is going to happen. Amen? See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Now, of course, he just doesn't do anything. He just sits in his barn the whole time and he blows out the seed from out his window and hoping that maybe something will happen from all of that, right? That's what the farmer is doing as he's sitting back and waiting. He's just kind of hoping the seed will land in the right places. No, even though he's waiting, what is he doing? He's actively involved, engaged. He waits for the precious fruit of the earth, but yet he is still doing a work behind the scenes that we may not see, but he's still actively engaged in believing that God works the miracle of growth. Now think about that. He knows the miracle. That's why he waits, because he knows the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. He knows it's going to come. For the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is where? I'm sorry, where was that again? Amen. Right? Is that at hand, right? It's right here. It's upon us. Do we still have that hope? The theme for this next 5 years as a world church is to reach the world. How are we going to do that if we're not have any kind of patience with the endurance, the perseverance? And not only that, when you take the same word here, the same Greek word, and when they translated the Old Testament, they translated it into Greek or Septuagint, okay? And so when they use, you kind of sometimes you wonder, what word did they find that would be similar to what they would think the Hebrew word would be, or equivalent to the Greek. And so as they were looking, it's interesting, as they looked to the Hebrew, they found they used this word for a particular word that we hear most often. And I want to share it with you, okay? I know I'm leaving you in suspense. What is that? But I want to share with you, it's found in Psalm 71, verse 5. Though they choose to translate this a little differently, but yet it's exciting to see how they work together. And that is this, Psalm 71, what verse was it again? 5, okay, I did say that. Phew, all right. 71, verse 5. Now, your translation might read a little differently depending on which translation you have. This is New King James. But here it says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my what?" Praise God. Praise God. Look at that. From early on, you are my trust. You are my authority. You are my all in all. O Lord God, what does it say? "For you are my hope." See, the hope and concept gives you the idea of an expectation. You are my hope. Why? Because no matter what's going on, you are my hope. You will bring the good. You will bring the peace. You will bring the patience. You will bring something. You will bring your coming again. And so it gives us that expectation, as which the same Greek word is used in the New Testament to mean the same thing when you think of patience. We see it as endurance and perseverance, but there's also another aspect of it, and that is expectation. So patient expectation. Yes, we're patient with endurance and perseverance, but we're expectant of Christ. Doing things in our life, working on our behalf right now, right here, at this very moment. But not only that, but we look forward to Him coming. Do we look forward to Him coming? Oh, my friends. We got to preach more on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because what do you think gives us drive each and every day when we wake up? Have we got caught and consumed so much in the world that the world is, we look the same as the world around us? Or do we still have that fire within to have that, "Man, I wake up today"? I challenge you, I challenge you to wake up tomorrow morning going, "Could this be the day?" Now, some of us, I know we can go all through different things, Ellen White quotes and this and that, but do we have that expectation each and every day? Is this the day? Not to say, okay, let's batten down the hatches, let's build our bunkers and barrow in, because is that what the Scripture has been telling us so far? Even James chapter 5, what is it saying? You know, we got to share that. You know, a farmer, when he's preparing and waiting for that, he's not doing it by himself. He's got a whole team. And they're all looking forward to that, whether it be the family or other hired people, but they're all working together to look forward to the harvest. And even in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the same word is being used. "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a..." Same Greek word being used there as well. Expectation, perseverance, endurance. But oftentimes we grow tired of the people that are honking around us. And what I mean by this is a man was at a traffic light and his car had stalled. And as he was stalled there, people are so patient, aren't they? They are so enduring, you know, have such endurance. An expectation that that car would move, but what happens is the perseverance gets pushed out of the way, and the expectation that something better move right now because you're ruining my life. And so how do they express their joy for that individual that's stuck in the intersection that is preventing you from moving on? Beep, 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 right? And that's not the nice horns. And sometimes if the horn isn't big enough and good enough, what do? Well, maybe we shouldn't say. But anyway, they get creative and how they want to express their frustration, don't they? And sometimes they use choice words that can be very irritating and upsetting. And of course, the person that is having the difficulty, what's happening to them? They're getting even more frustrated because there's nothing they can do. They're there. They don't know how to work on the car to check for that and this. And they're stuck. And maybe because of the frustration, what is it escalating? Have you ever been in a situation where there's so much pressure that, you know, let's say it's like the lights are out, but yet there's everyone yelling at you, and for some reason you can't think, "Oh, maybe I should just try the light switch." because there's just so much pressure that the obvious thing is just it's so much because we're so stressed. Maybe none of us can connect with that, but what about tests? I know some of you we've been students. Have you ever been to a test that you're just so worked up because, man, I got to get a certain grade on this? And then what happens is you're so stressed out about the grade that they ask you, what is the chemical formula for water? And your brain has gone completely blank, yet you know what the chemical formula for water is. It's so obvious, everybody knows that, but yet you can't come out with the answer. Well, this man, he decides to do something different, something creative, and he gets out of his car, the one that the car had stalled. He gets out of his car and he goes back to the person that is so nice to be honking at him and yelling at him. And he said, if you would be willing to get out of your car. He says, if you would be willing to get out of your car, and if you wouldn't mind, go up to my car that's blocking everybody. And if you don't mind, could you sit in my car, and I'm going to get in your car. I'm going to get in your car, and I'm going to give you the same appreciation that you were sharing with me. And let me know how you do with that. Let me know how you like it in going through someone else honking at you, yelling at you. You know, it's so easy when everything is going well to be patient, to endure. But when things are so rough and piling upon us, well, we're tested, are we not? And James reminds us, though, the testing comes. What happens is that testing, when given to God, refines our endurance. It gives us the endurance. When we're involved and we're active and we're working together, we're moving forward in ministry, it refines our patience. And remember, our faith comes from our faith comes patience. And where does that faith come from? The faith in God and faith in having the love for one another, as we saw last week. Faith in Jesus is having that love for God and for one another and letting that continue to grow in our hearts, and then continuing in that gives us the patience, the endurance, the perseverance, so that when the struggles come on, that we have the hope to hold on strong to Jesus Christ. And even as Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 reminds us that though there will be time of trouble, we will have faith in Jesus. Amen? We will have faith in Jesus to give us the joy to endure with patient expectation that He will come again and He will return, so that we will love to hear the words from His lips saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Not because I am great in anything that I have done, but because I have chosen to let God be the greatness in me and reflected through me. Because I have walked with God, being faithful to Jesus and having the patience of the saints, and Jesus turns around and says, oh, well done, good and faithful servant. Yes, He will place a crown on my unworthy head. And yes, we will get to sit at this welcome table together as a family. And yes, we will have communion together. Amen. We will have communion together and thank the Lord. Yes, Jesus will officiate at that beautiful table. And there will be but one office: sinners saved by grace. Together we will not get to eat from the tree of life before anybody else, but we'll eat at the tree of life together all at once. We will come and eat together, and the leaves of the tree will heal our broken nation and broken hearts. Because that is faith in Jesus and the patience of the saints. Are we ready? Are we ready to have the faith in Jesus so that He can pour out the joy that we've been craving and wanting for so long in our life? And from that, to endure with the patient expectation that Jesus Christ is coming home, is coming to bring us home. He's going to restore everything. And He's going to restore you. We have a lot of brokenness, a lot of hurts, a lot of things that are unfair in this world. And Jesus will be glorified. And we will be glorified because of His righteousness. I want to take hold of that. And I ask you to join me in having the faith of Jesus and the patience of the saints. Because as we do, we can set aside our issues, we can set aside our agendas, and let God be the unity that brings us together to hold true to His mission. My friends, we have Youth Rush coming. Anybody remember what Youth Rush is? It's a group of young people coming out and they're giving out literature into the community. Well, yeah, that's what they do. But what they're doing is they're sharing, not by just books, but by their personal presence at their door, they're sharing the love of God. And guess what? They get to give them an extra blessing by way of a book or some kind of whatever that, you know, all the materials that they have. But the blessing, really, the initial contact is the love of God that they're doing for, they're going out and doing. But what happens, the challenge with that kind of a group is, guess what? We think of it as, oh, the professionals have come. And so what do? Remember, this text was for all of us to have the faith in Jesus and the patience to endure. And so do we sit back and let them do all the endurance for us? Because how is our faith going to grow? How is our patience grow? It comes by connecting with God and by doing it and sharing that with others. Amen? But if we're letting them do all the work, who's losing out? On our faith growing, on our patience and endurance developing in our lives, and in the blessings that God will not only pour out through you to others, but the blessings of your faith growing. See, we get this idea that, oh, they're doing it, so I don't have to. But let's not forget, this went out to each and every one of us to challenge us. Let's support. Let's continue to do what we can. Let's call one another. Let's touch base with one another. Let's have the faith of Jesus and the patience of the saints. We're going to look at next week more about this idea of keeping and being obedient to the commandments of God. And what does that mean in the full picture of what we've talked about? Because it is through that that we come to understand the joys of what it means to have faith in Jesus, but also hearing the stories and the victories of those that have been patient in Christ. But we're part of that history. Amen? We are part of that history today, my friends. So don't think of it, oh, we can look to these other pillars. You are the pillars that our young people will be talking about tomorrow, that's saying, you know what, I remember this person. You all have these testimonies. I know, I've heard you say them. Of people that have touched your life, that have come alongside you. But you are the people that they will talk about. That back in the day, these people came to my house and touched my life. And that was because of you having the faith of Jesus and the patience of the saints. Let's have that hope. Let's have that patient expectation. And let's journey together. Let's walk for Jesus. Amen.